Be reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And the Bible reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Please bow in prayer with me as we go to the Father, asking that we have the strength and the courage to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to talk to others about him and our Savior Jesus. Father God in heaven, we bow before your throne of mercy and grace and almighty power, thanking you so much for this opportunity to worship you. You truly are worthy. Lord God, we have been given a mighty task, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus with the world. Lord God, we know that it is your plan that we take on this mission, and we just ask for the courage in the strength, the love that we need for our fellow man to be able to be zealous in this effort. We know that you are the answer, and everyone needs to know about Jesus, the Savior. And it is our responsibility, the church, to make your wisdom known to the lost and dying world. So God, we just ask that you will continually be with us, and that you will help us to strengthen one another, that we will gain strength from an understanding of your word about what our job is, and that we will go about doing it day by day, that we'll get better at it day by day, that we'll recognize that every time we miss an opportunity to share the story of Jesus with that person who does not yet know him, there's a chance that that person might be lost everlasting. And so, God, we just thank you so much that someone took a moment, an opportunity to direct those thoughts of Jesus and to share what they knew about you with us. And we ask again, Father, that you will just allow us the presence of mind to understand how critical it is, how urgent it is for us to carry that message of the sweet gospel on our lips every moment of the day, and that we can take advantage of every opportunity that you present to us to give somebody the saving story of Jesus Christ, your Son crucified and risen from the dead, that all men might be saved. Father, we love you and we thank you. And it is in Jesus' name that we ask it all. Amen.
I was going to race you, Ozzy, but I had a head start and thought it wasn't fair. Normally, when a guy announces the invitation song, that's my cue to go. You know, one of the most important, if not the most important decisions we make in this life is where we attend the Lord's services, congregation that we are a part of. And that is so very important because it is so very important to how we're going to grow, how we're going to move forward in our personal lives as we seek a place of worship and seek a place of family in the Lord's church. You know, too many times, we see people deciding this very important decision based on some things that are pretty shallow, pretty small. In the long run, they don't hold this decision to be as high as it should be in their lives. You know, sometimes it it takes very little for people to turn away and go somewhere else. And there is a spoiled quality to it all that I want what I want. And it becomes less about God, more about me, and more about my preferences and my likes, and less about what God would want for me. So many brethren around the world could not even imagine, you know, the choices that we take for granted as commonplace, and even think that somehow we're entitled to in this country. And it amazes me. You know, I was thinking about this as I read something that I received from a preacher friend about 10 things, or the top 10 reasons that people give for not returning to a congregation when they visit it. They attend it once and then they never go back. And why did they not go back to that congregation? And you know, it's interesting. He did this on Twitter. He gave this out there on Twitter and asked for people to just tell what they thought. Now, I wanted to share these with you just to kind of let you think about these things and see where people are sometimes in their thought processes. Start at 10 and work our way down to number 1. I think you'll be surprised at where some things land and some things that are not there. Number 10 is dirty facilities. You know, I don't know. I've been to a lot of churches. I've been to a lot of church buildings. And I've never seen any that I found just abhorrently dirty. There were some that I thought were kind of messy, you know, kind of disheveled. But, you know, never just completely dirty or nasty to the point that I wouldn't want to be there. But, you know, that seemed to be on people's list. It made the top 10 at any rate. But, you know, so oftentimes we look at these buildings and we want, you know, we think about whether it's clean or whether the floor is perfectly carpeted, you know, if there's stuff on the floor or whatever. But then you go to Africa and you attend the church at Kasanga, where I attended when I was there. And they were so proud of their new classroom addition they had built with their own hands, and a dirt floor. You just can't ever get that clean. No matter how hard you try, that dirt floor is always dirty. But they were so proud of it. They were so proud of it because now they could have a total of 2 classes on Sunday instead of just 1. Oh, we take so many things for granted, don't we? And yet we get so upset about so many little inconsequential things in regards to our buildings that we forget what a blessing it is. Number 9 was that members telling guests that they are in their seat of few. And I know that's not a lie, because I have seen it happen. I have talked to others that have experienced it happening, you know, and it amazes me that a Christian would look at a visitor and tell them to get up. Now, this doesn't happen as much in big congregations as it does in those small congregations where Sister so-and-so has sat in that seat for 60 years. OK, it's literally conformed to her, you know, and she expects you to be up and out of it. Jack Cole, a good preacher friend of mine, went to a place and he went with a song leader because they didn't have one or a preacher. So they went both a song leader and a preacher. And he went in, he sat down in this seat, and pretty soon this cane came and hit the seat about 3 times. And it was this little old lady with her cane. She said, "Son, you're in my seat. And you're going to have to get up." And so Jack got up and then he saw his song leader buddy sit there. And you know, he wasn't Christian enough to tell him. And here she come. Thwack, thwack, thwack. "Son, you're in my seat. You're going to have to get up." So it does happen. You know, folks, if we have a visitor, let them have your seat. There's a lot of seats, and they're all just about the same comfort level, which is not much sometimes. Number 8 is that, and this is the one that you would think would be high, because I think in a lot of people's minds, this is number 1. This is what everybody thinks is the reason why people do not want to come to church or why people don't return. But number 8 is that the service is boring or bad in some particular way. So that's all the way down at number 8. That's not even up in the top 5. But yet I think that's where most people think people are landing. Well, you know, the services need to be changed. Or services need to be improved. We hear that all the time. And people trying to find all kinds of ways to change the services to get people to come back. But see, it's not a win. You can't win that. Because what is exciting to one person is over the top to another, and what is boring to one person is just right to another, right? And you know, we have you know, over 100 people here tonight, and there's probably 100 different opinions on what I'm saying right now. You can't win in trying to please people's subjective ideas about whether they enjoy something or not. And so, you know, congregations try that, and what happens is they tend to go off away from the Scriptures to do it. But, you know, we need to understand that it is not about what is going on so much as it is about what's starting in my heart and going forth toward God. If that's always right, worship service will always be what it needs to be. It will always build you up. It will always take you where you need to go with God. If you start with the heart and a focus upon God and not on whether it's the songs that I like the most or whether the preacher's preaching on the topic I like the most or what, you know, whatever it may be. And I know that's hard. It's hard to take my feelings out of the equation, right, or my likes and dislikes. But, you know, ultimately we need to try to temper that, if nothing else. Number 7 was insider church language. We have this problem here, folks. And we're not talking theological language. It has nothing to do with the Greek words and all that stuff. That's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear that. No, it's the acronyms we have. You know, the WMU will meet in the CLC in the room where the GAs used to meet. Well, unless you know all I know that somebody here one time asked for a legend so they could know exactly what MSYG and HSYG and live wires and all the others meant. You know, all the little names, our little names that we have. We need to be careful that we don't lose people maybe in those names. Another one is poor signage. But, you know, and when we talk about signage, not talking about the fact that our tree blocks our sign out here in the front, but talking about the signage in the building, we do pretty good with that. I can read the signs on the doors back there from up here. So we do pretty good with signage, I think, here. But, you know, after you've been a place a couple of weeks, a couple of 3 weeks, you're going to learn where things are, right, even without signs. I'm not sure that that's a good reason for not returning to somewhere. Just learn where the doors are. Number 5, Jeff, bad website. There he is. You know, it even says that some people will come even after looking at a bad website, and we have a great website, so this should not be an issue for us. I don't want to imply that when I say that. But they say that even if they look at the website and still come, it has tainted them and they're prejudiced toward the congregation even when they do come because of the website. So, you know, Jeff has a great responsibility, does a great job with it. Our website is looks excellent and always is, I think, beneficial to those that are looking at it in regard to us. But, you know, a lot of good congregations do not have a website. And so I don't think at the end of the day that's the greatest judge of a congregation. Number 4 is there is no place to get information. Now, you know, I think this is one of the most valid problems that is on this list. This is the one that I think is the most valid. We want to make sure, you know, because if this is their problem, if this is their complaint as to why they do not return, this was a person seeking information. This was a person that wanted to know something, and we failed on our part to make sure that they had that. Now, I think we do good. We have tracks, we have video, you know, DVDs outside, we have free materials, we have a lot of things available to people. We just need to make sure that we make sure they know where those things are and offer them to them as well. But, you know, so I think of all of these, this one is the one, you know, for the people that we really need to be making certain that they have that information, because this is someone interested. So we need to always be trying to find ways that we can help develop means by which people can learn more. You know, make sure that they have the information. Our job is to provide information. Ultimately, I mean, what I'm talking about there is the gospel to people. That's our job, is information about God and Jesus Christ. Number 3, unsafe and unclean children's areas. Well, I mean, this, I don't really know what this one means. I guess if you got scissors all around the preschool room or something, I don't know. But if there is an unsafe or unclean children's area, then that's just negligence. And, you know, you can understand the emotional response of a parent. But the fact that it makes number 3 on the list says, I guess, it happens more than I realize. I can't think of an example to even use. Number 2, unfriendly church members. Should that ever be the case? Now, I understand that some people give that one because of other reasons. You know, the person who comes in, sits on the back pew, and shoots out the back door before we can stand up, no, they're not going to have very many people speak to them. it's going to be hard, right? Unless you chase them out onto the parking lot. I've done that once or twice to people. And, you know, but you have to do that. But that should never be valid. As Christians, there should never be a time when people do not receive friendliness from us. Love and kindness in every way. And when we see people we do not know here, we need to extend every kindness and every love that we have, all the love that we have to them. Not because we want them to come back, but because that's who we are to be. Number one, and I mean, this is, and what amazes me is number one is church's solution to this problem. Shows you sometimes we overthink things and we do a little more than we should. It, really, the solution to number two should eradicate the need for number one. Because if we are just kind people that are open to people and receive, you know, receptive to people, this one's not even necessary. Number one reason why people do not return to a congregation that they visit is because the congregation made them stand up along with everybody else and greet everybody. And they felt put on the spot. You've been there, congregation, they say, everybody stand up and shake the hands of everybody around you. Make sure you talk to all the visitors around you for that 30 seconds. Say hi. And that's the number one reason given for why they would not return to that congregation. You know, we don't need to, we don't need to force that. That should be natural. See, sometimes in the Lord's church, we want to try to force the things that we should naturally be. And if we are kind and caring and receptive to people, it's going to show we're not going to need to force that greeting, I guess you could say. And if we're having to do that to greet each other, then we got other problems, right, to deal with. But it's an interesting list when you read what people think and what people say in regard to why they do not come back to a church. But the problem is, the one that should be on there isn't. None of those things really at the end of the day. Well, maybe the unfriendly church members. None of those things at the end of the day should be a determining factor. Where on there, and there are plenty out there because I've landed at a few myself in visiting congregations, where on there is we did not return because they did not teach and practice the truth. You know, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing when we look to the Lord's church, when we determine the congregation that we're going to associate ourselves with. You know, people today, unfortunately, a lot of times in their thought processes, it's more about the convenience or what the church is offering instead of what the church should be in the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. I've known good people, people that I care about a great deal and know very well, and they've remained in congregations that have left the truth. Congregations like we see in the seven churches of Asia where, you know, you got to wonder, is Christ thinking about removing the lampstand because he's only going to put up with a disregard of his will for only so long? And they stay. And nobly at first, you know, we're trying to move this congregation back to what's right. But the years go by and suddenly they're not moving them anymore. They're not even trying to move them. They've been slowly taken in. There's a reason why the Bible tells us to avoid those that teach those things that are false, because eventually we just become seared to it and become a part of it. We need to stay away from it. So, you know, as we think about the way people think, may we always be, if nothing else, may no one ever leave the Cary Church of Christ and say they weren't teaching what the Bible taught. Now, we may have a dirty children's area. I doubt that. We have people that stay on top of that, thankfully. You know, we may have some of these other things, but I hope we're never unfriendly. But I hope most of all, at the end of the day, we teach the truth. Because that means that we depend upon God. And that's what we've been talking about tonight in our services. As the Lord's church, as the congregation at Cary, our objective is to depend wholly and solely upon God. This evening, if you're not a child of God, we want to pray that you'll make the decision to become one, not for any small reason, but for the big reason of God loves you and wants to save your soul today. We want to pray that you'll do the things that the Bible commands you to do. If you need to know what those things are, we want to sit down with you and we want to show you what the Scriptures say. If you're a child of God this evening needs to come back to Christ, we want to pray that you will let us. Don't make excuses. You know, a lot of these things at the end of the day are just excuses, aren't they? For something else. Don't make an excuse. Just make a decision to serve God. If we can assist you in that in any way, won't you let us, as we stand, as we sing.